With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Philip Slavin of the 1012 podcast here. Have you been listening to this show for a while and thought, you know, if that guy can do this, then so can I? Well, you're probably right, and it's worth giving a shot. The one question you're going to ask yourself is, how do I get my podcast out for everyone to listen to on iTunes, on Spotify? Well, you're going to need a hosting site, and if I may make a suggestion, go with Anchor. It's easy and it's free, which is great for podcast hobbyists who aren't exactly expecting this to make a lot of income, especially starting out. Anchor is fantastic. Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need in one place. It has the tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And when hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your show on listening platforms like we mentioned, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And again, it is totally free. It's fantastic. It is what we use. And if it's what we use, it's what we're going to suggest to others. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Again, that is the Anchor app or anchor.fm to get started with your podcast. Welcome to the 1012, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us for our Monday episode. I am very excited about today. Very excited. We've got one of our usuals back with us, Andy. Welcome.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Jamie is getting married, so she's out, because apparently getting married is more important than being on the podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to applaud
Funny
her.
How that works.
I'm going to applaud her for not getting married during football season, because that is the original sin, I think, actually, that it was one of those Catholic Church rewrites. Anyways, I'm very excited today to have the fantastic and amazing ladies behind our 1012 Network Texas podcast, Fire the Cannon. So I always said the wrong thing. I'm very tired. It's been a long day. Very excited to have them. Rocky, Megan, and Hannah with us. Ladies, welcome to the 1012.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Thank hey. You for having us.
Absolutely. So I am there. Okay. Let me just a little behind, because, you know, podcasting is a visual medium. We have five screens going at the same time, which I think might be the most I've ever had. Now, I think we've had some round tables, but those were much more organized than this, but it's probably not going to be. Let me just say this. I am very excited to have the three of you as part of the show today and as part of the network. I know we were all kind of like, well, Should we keep the Texas podcast that's coming in with everything that's going on?
And we
I
get
thought,
it.
You know what?
I get it.
I am
ball. We are balls.
Everybody's mad at
Look,
Texas.
Look. We don't hold your school's actions against you.
No. That's fair. Just like we won't hold us paying you out for the past 25 years against y'all, right? We're coming early with it, Andy. We're coming early.
Okay, this is going to be a really short podcast.
And we're done recording. We appreciate the time. Fire the Cannon that was formerly a part of,
right.
of the 1012 group. No, man, we are. We're excited to be here, and we're excited to mix it up. You know, I think there is a lot of bittersweet feelings about what has been flooding our timelines for the past 2 weeks. And yeah, excited to dive into that and keep it part of the family, right?
Well, I want to start there, because we've had a couple of OU guests on the show to talk about this. We had Keegan when this news first broke. We had Brady to follow it up. So we've gotten the Oklahoma perspective. We are doing individual podcasts for each of the eight teams left over to kind of get their perspective on things. And we haven't had Texas perspective yet. So, of course, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to bring you
you ladies on, because I've got a Texas podcast. So why would I not just be like, hi? So I'm going to let you guys kind of decide who wants to go one by one. But I'm less of the, like, we're way past the how did you feel when the news first came out. Like, we all know how everyone was kind of like, I'm sorry, what? At this point, 2 weeks later, you know, we this is happening. This is no longer like a speculative, well, maybe Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. When that happens, we don't know. Yes, we know they're saying 2025, but we're all big boys and girls. We know that's not really what's going to happen. From here, we've all said a lot of things, and people have said a lot of things on Twitter. So trust me, there's nothing that the three of you could say to me that I haven't heard worse in our DMs or in my personal DMs. Where are you at now? Like, where is the mindset both with what's coming in the future and like how you view things heading into 2021? That's probably going to be a little bit awkward.
Oh yeah. Boy. Yeah. You mean like questionable calls, referee calls? Maybe there's might be that. Somebody said, and I mentioned in our podcast last week that it's ironic that the least hostile environment that both Texas and Oklahoma will walk into in 2021 will be the Red River Shootout. The least hostile. So like, and that's totally true, because that's kind of how it feels. There's so much vitriol out there right now. There's so many facets to this. And I think the other two would agree with me. Like, there's some cautious optimism going into the SEC. And then like, especially where we are as a program right now. But then there's also like, there is some saltiness like toward the Big 12, because like we hung in there and we tried to make it work, but they're, you know, there was like part of the other end of the bargain didn't hold up. So this is not an easy answer. I don't know.
Chime in. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit like spending Thanksgiving with your soon to be divorced family, right? It's awkward. You want to put on the good face and pretend like everything's great, but in reality, everybody just kind of biting their tongues and rolling their eyes and hoping that the moment is over soon. You know, I will say, I do think Texas has always had a target on their back, you know, no matter what environment you go into. There was that report that came out a while ago that Texas has the most rivals, or people identify Texas as, you know, more schools identify Texas as a rival than any other school. So there's always been a target, but I really feel like that got exponentially bigger. I think more so for Texas than it did for OU, because I think a lot of the feeling around is, oh, well, of course, Texas is behind this, the evil empire, and OU is, we understand it from OU, right? You know, we've seen a lot of that. So I think it really steps up. I mean, Sark, I think we all know Texas is not an easy place to come in and win and come in and be successful and come in and have everybody embrace you, right? And Sark knew that coming into this, but now with this announcement, the expectations are astronomical. And if you don't win big and you don't beat Arkansas and you don't win that first game against, you know, the Raging Cajuns, and you stumble at TCU or any of those things happen, and I think that gets blown up exponentially. So yeah, target's pretty big. Rocky, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm excited. I feel like it's not like we're welcome to any stadium anyway, so it's going to be just more taken up a notch. You know, when Sarkisian made that comment that was taken way out of context and twisted and cut up into the wrong pieces, if you listen to the whole interview, you know, he said right now, you used to kind of be in the biggest games on people's schedule. And right now that's what happens when Texas comes to town. It's a big deal. And people hate Texas, and, you know, they're already talking about Arkansas maybe getting game day because Texas is coming, right? So it's just going to take it up a notch, and that's fine. We don't drive our nice car to these other stadiums anyway, because they're not going to treat us very good right now anyway. So I think it's just taking it up a notch. They hate Texas. Now they just hate us even more, and that's whatever, you know.
Maybe
it's whatever. You know, they hate us, but are begging us to not leave them poor and homeless. So
let's get the two non-Texas dudes perspective. Like, why are we hated?
Well, okay, look.
Because if you had the invitation to go to the SEC, you would be gone.
Well, no, right. Financially, I completely understand why Texas would go. You know, going to the SEC, you're going to get a whole bunch more money. The one thing that never sat right with me and was just the fact that, you know, one of the biggest justifications that a lot of Texas fans, I'm not saying it's you guys specifically, but a lot of Texas fans have been coming at me specifically, you know, because of some of the things that I was a little bit upset about. It's just that, you know, it's like, well, talking about how the rest of the conference doesn't have a good enough reputation to help Texas get to where it needs to be, right, in terms of national perception. And I think part of the problem with that is that part of the reason the Big 12 hasn't had the perception that that everybody wants it to have here in the Big 12 is because Texas has not been as successful in football the last few years as
Texas
they probably should be.
Texas doesn't carry the load, then the whole conference is
fairly or not, the national perception is that if the Big 12 is any good, that means that Oklahoma and Texas are really good. Right. That's nationally. And that's not Texas's fault. It's not honestly anyone's fault in the Big 12. It's the national media that has the problem, because there's a lot of really good football being played by a lot of teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if it's not Oklahoma and Texas at the same time, everybody says, oh, well, the rest of the conference is trash. So
it's kind of like the Pac-12 is down right now because USC is not up.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
We can play this game for every conference. The ACC this way because Florida State's out. It's just Clemson and then a bunch of schmucks, right? How the Big 12 gets started. It's OU and a bunch of schmucks, except that there's just so Florida State and Texas's way. USC is down. Pac-12. If you had the SEC, or let's go to the Big 10 as a better example. If you had the Big 10 and Ohio State wasn't what they are right now, they'd be talking about them a little bit different, though, because the national media loves, and I hate doing that whole national media like it's Godzilla walking around smashing buildings in one single entity. But there are narratives that are just understood like that. But it has been a part of the narrative of if Oklahoma and Texas are good, because they are able to bring in the talent they are without even really trying. And I don't mean that as an insult or a dig in any way, shape, or form. Texas has not been great for the last decade, and they're still landing top five classes, which is, that's Texas, right? That's part of Texas. It's part of why everybody, players want to go there, and I get it. But when those two teams, the most talented teams in the conference from a recruiting and a ranking and a standpoint, are good, then when everybody else is good and beats them, well, that means that they must be good, and we can quibble over whether that's fair or not. I don't think it is, but that's the bed we all lie in because that's what we have to live with, and that's not Texas's fault at all. I mean, it's Texas's fault that they haven't lived up to their end of the bargain of being as good as they were supposed to be to help with the rest of the conference. Because if Texas is good, and you beat Texas, it's like now if Iowa State's so great because they beat Oklahoma. Right now, Oklahoma's consistently good. Everyone's not going to beat Texas every year, but now if Texas and Oklahoma are challenging and somebody beats them, now they're that much better. So it's like
this has been
I feel like honestly the whole Big 12 has been this weird relationship since its initial birth. It got weirder when teams left and new teams came in and they stuck at 10 and whatever. But it's always been a weird arranged marriage of sorts. Between the old Big Eight and the old Southwest Conference leftovers, or I say the Texas teams that decided to join in. Bastards. And so I've always been one who said things are going to be fine. And I am happy to admit that I was blindly walking down with my blinders on. It's fine. I'll admit such. But I mean, if you look back, like this was just what was always going to happen and inevitable. And once I come to that conclusion, I'm like, look, I don't blame Texas for leaving. Like I understand why they're leaving. That's not a problem. It's the same thing for Oklahoma. By the way, it's Oklahoma leading this bus, not Texas. I will take that to my grave. They're just.
By the way, I think we all can agree our current situation is all Texas A&M's fault. Because honestly, if they had not, you know, brought it out there when they did, we probably would have gotten at least well into the season before any word of this came. Because I can guarantee you there's no way that the SEC or ESPN or Texas or Oklahoma was going to leak that right in the middle and have to deal with all the fallout in the middle of the season. So. Right. Everybody knew that this was coming at some point, that at the end of the grant of rights in 2025, there was going to be some sort of reshuffling. Either the Big 12 was going to poach somebody from like the Pac-12 to become stronger, and that would fix some of the issues that were going on, or the Big 12 was going to fall apart in some fashion. But I think this accelerated everything and, you know, caused a whole lot of hard feelings and caused a whole bunch of problems that honestly we didn't really want to have to deal with and didn't really need to deal with. But A&M decided to screw everything up by getting mad by the fact that Oklahoma and Texas were talking about coming to the SEC and they wanted to be there all by themselves.
No, that's fair. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, is anybody shocked that A&M's throwing a fit and pouting? Right. Like
the only ones having special Board of Regents meetings.
I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think this kind of blew up in A&M's face in spectacular fashion. Right. You know, I think similar to the LHN situation when that was first developing in the very beginning, there were some talks of it being a Texas A&M joined network. Right. And A&M turned that down with a quickness and said they weren't interested, thinking it would blow up the deal. And ESPN said, cool, Texas is kind of the one we wanted anyway, and it turned into the LHN, and we all have feelings on that, right? But, you know, I think it's kind of an MO.
I hadn't heard that, which means now it's doubly Texas A&M's fault, because if you agree with a lot of people that the Longhorn Network is kind of part of the problem and what led to all of this eventually, if it had been A&M and Texas, I think it would have been a little bit easier for everyone to kind of stomach that. And it wouldn't have led to like the Nebraska issue and like all of this. So like the whole course of all of Big 12 football and all of Big 12 would have been different if A&M could have just shut the hell up.
Yeah, well, welcome to
Don't understand what the problem is executing your tier three rights to get extra money. What's your kid? Like that's right. The thing is, like, to me, it makes no sense to be, how dare Texas have their own network? Because you can't.
I don't think that was ever
always done. Just people always mad at Texas for things because they can't do it themselves. So anyway, that's one thing. The side note just always bugs me. Like the LHN, is it the best network? Do they just play the old stuff? No, but they have some really cool stuff that highlights some amazing things Longhorns are doing. And if you can fill a network with stuff and get money for it, I don't know why people get so mad about it.
I mean, I think you pretty much describe most TV networks nowadays as just a channel filled with stuff that you get paid for. So
exactly.
You might care about it and you might not.
Right. It doesn't matter if everything on it's good or not, as long as someone's getting paid for it.
No one's getting paid, exactly.
Well, and really the LHN was ESPN dabbling their toe into this very specific kind of network where streaming households matter, right? And ESPN, in my opinion, has been way ahead of that. They understood this stuff was kind of, how can you not? You're part of the Disney Corporation, right? Like they're helping shape all of this stuff. So the LHN was really kind of a precursor and them figuring out how to make it work. And without the LHN, this massive SEC deal, and I mean TV deal, forget Texas being a part of it, but the TV network contract that the SEC just set up with ESPN, LHN was kind of a test run for ESPN for that. So, yeah, I mean, of course, I agree. There's been a lot of string pulling behind the scenes and a lot of strategic planning for decades, right? And I can see both sides of that argument. I can sit on either side of the fence. I don't understand the vitriol on one hand of, oh, the LHN is the worst and Texas is, again, the evil empire.
I think really, I think the biggest issue that people had, because if you think about it, the very first one of these kinds of networks was the Big Ten network, right? And it was an entire conference network, and it worked out really well. They set it up really well. It was really beneficial. The one thing that people forget, though, is that the Big Ten has always been a conference about collaboration and sharing everything. I mean, they have their research foundation, you know, like they are all research institutes, and they share a whole bunch of money that comes in from there that dwarfs anything athletically, right? And so it's one of those things where, you know, the Big 12 and specifically the Longhorn Network jumped in almost immediately after the Big 10 network launched. And it was basically two different ways of doing it, right? It was either do it all as a conference or do it all individually. And obviously both of them worked to some degree. The conference one, I think it has, is the model that kind of caught on with all the other conferences, which is, I think, the biggest point of contention is that part of the reason the Big 12 isn't as stable of a conference as some of the other ones is because we didn't all pool our tier three rights, which, not saying one way or another which way was correct, because, you know, Kansas definitely benefits from having their tier three rights as well. So it's like, I completely understand it, and I understand why it's valuable in a lot of cases. It's one of those things, though, if you're looking collectively, having those individual tier three rights with each of the individual schools makes it a lot harder to hold the network together, because that is one big revenue source, or I'm sorry, to hold the conference together, because that's one big revenue source that's individual to your school that doesn't matter at all what the rest of the conference is doing. And so it's one of those things where the Longhorn Network, I think, is an easy scapegoat, because it's the whole bunch of money that Texas gets that means that they're not necessarily, you know, as dependent on making sure that the conference is absolutely as strong as it could possibly be, because all their money isn't tied up in the conference. And I think that's where, if you want to be mad at something, it's really easy to be mad at that, even though if you were in the exact same situation with your school, you would absolutely love to have something like that. So it's one of those, you know, I think the only thing personally that rubs me the wrong way about this entire situation, right, is just how stupid mad people are getting from both sides on Twitter about this entire thing. Because it's one of those things, if I was on the Texas side, I would feel perfectly justified. I'd be absolutely fine with all of this. Absolutely no problem. Being on the other side, it's like, this really sucks. And I want to be mad about it, but all these other people are telling me that I can't be mad about it, because if I was on that side, that I'd be in the exact same situation as them. And so it's everybody's getting really stupid on Twitter. And that's really the only thing that pisses me off about it.
Oh, I'd agree. I mean, we all know that we don't have rational reactions when it comes to our teams that we're fanatical about, right? Of course.
Totally rational. I don't know about
totally level-headed, completely at all times.
Of course.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely get that argument. You know, but I do think one of the things that we should all be able to agree on is, maybe let's not blame Texas individually as much. Can we not just focus on hating Bob Bowlesby altogether? Is that not something that can bring our conference together for however much time we have left?
Although, I mean, I love what Bob Bowlesby has done recently. I just wish he would have done it a whole lot sooner to do something to help the conference.
Right.
The fact that he's going after ESPN, which really ESPN's the big bad guy in all of this, I'm absolutely loving that. So
yeah, it's just amazing that he didn't have the foresight to see this coming sooner. Or maybe he did. No. He was just like arrogant or just oblivious. I don't know. It's amazing.
If he had seen it coming, he would not have made the statement that he did at the beginning of Big 12 Media Days.
No, absolutely.
And I, you know, I'm not going to blame the dude for not having a crystal ball, but I do think there is something to be said. I know I'm probably the only nerd that got caught up in these stupid Texas Senate hearings and investigation, you know, exploratory hearings where they called in, you know, our president, and they called in a bunch of witnesses, Bowlesby being one of them. And
that wasn't a hearing. It was a Comedy Central roast.
It was
crazy. Anybody got any one-liners about Texas? Come bring them to this hearing.
Anger and saltiness out here. There's no question about that. But there were a few senators that were holding Bowlesby's feet to the fire. And, you know, Andy, you brought up the Big Ten Network, and that's exactly what they said. Well, the Big Ten Network set this up and looked ahead to streaming and brought in Maryland and Rutgers, not because of the teams being powerhouses, but because of the, you know, the market that they hold in Washington, D.C. and in Jersey in that area, right? And it was pretty interesting when he was getting grilled on that. It was, well, if they had the foresight to plan around this and plan ahead and look towards the future of where the landscape was going, why didn't you? And he just kind of deer in headlights and repeated the same, well, Texas and, you know, it was an interesting moment. And
well, that wasn't really his fault.
Right. To be fair to Bowlesby, he was not in charge when all of this happened.
No, he took over 10 years ago.
And really, he works for the schools. So like, if the schools as a whole didn't want to set up a conference-wide network and didn't want to give up their tier 3 rights, because Texas wasn't the only one, but they were definitely one of the louder voices in the room about, hey, this is a good idea for us all to keep it. And everyone else was like, yeah, we can see the benefits for us. And honestly, we don't want to push the issue. Like, everybody was at fault in terms of not setting up a conference-wide network. But I also do think that, like, part of it, too, is that the reason the Big Ten Network is such a huge success is because they also, like, 49% of it's owned by Fox, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just the conferences. And it's not a similar situation at all the way the Longhorn Network is, because and definitely correct me if my understanding of this is wrong, but it is a network that's owned by ESPN and they pay Texas for all of the content, right? Correct. Whereas the Big Ten Network is jointly owned by both the conference and the distribution provider. And so it's more of a joint. It's everybody looking out for the product there because everybody benefits from it. Whereas the Big 12 is all about, you know, and honestly, we all have been this way culturally for however long the Big 12 has been here, is that you know, it's about making sure that we're all getting paid for our own stuff and trying to keep as much control of it as we possibly can.
Right.
So it's just a cultural difference. And ultimately, I think we all knew it was going to get to this point eventually. It was just a matter of when and what, you know, how long could we string it along that everybody's best interests were aligned?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the bottom line is, like, the Big 12 just was not proactive enough when the landscape was, like, changing around them. Like, this, all the writing was on the wall, I feel like. And that was kind of the demise. And I think, just personally throwing this out there, if the Pac-12 does not kind of take heed now, then it could be the next to go as far as being proactive.
Yeah, but I mean, the Pac-12 was reaching out. I mean, hell, that was a conversation back in 2016, you know?
Yeah.
That was another thing that threatened
the Big 12. They've been more so
proactive. Yeah, it was another thing that threatened the Big 12 with the Pac-12 coming in. And there were talks again about some realignment and some shifts there. And ultimately, Bowlesby did play a big part in that and saying, nah, like, I'm going to keep the Big 12 together and also choose not to add more teams to the Big 12 to bolster. We're going to stay at 10 at that point. So, yeah, I mean, it's a complicated landscape, no question. A lot of ups and downs. I will say this, though, y'all. I really am going to miss going. Lawrence is pretty, and it's a beautiful campus. I'm going to miss making the trips there. I can't say that I'm going to miss going to Manhattan a whole lot. I think I'd rather go to Nashville and have a good time there than Manhattan, Kansas, you know. No offense to my friends that live out there, but
I mean, you are less likely to lose to Vanderbilt than Kansas State.
Right. You wonder why we get reviews from Kansas State people that act like we don't like them.
That's not my, I know
it's non-intentional. I promise K-State people.
It's because I have a Jayhawk co-host. That's just like you.
I had great times out there. No question. And look, Aggieville's a lot of fun, right? I've had a good time there, but I am excited about the prospect of hanging out in Nashville and checking out Starkville and Gainesville and all the Bills, I guess, all the Southern
all the Bills.
That they got, you know? Yeah.
Are you a Big 12 basketball obsessed fan and have nowhere to go for just all of your Big 12 basketball information? Look no further, because Midwest Madness is here just for you. We talk men's and women's basketball all year long with exclusive interviews, guests that come on to talk about each team, game recaps once the season begins, and so much more content you won't know what to deal with. So for all of your Big 12 basketball needs, Midwest Madness is your place to go. Listen on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so let's look forward to this season. Texas, Oklahoma, they are in the Big 12 for now. Let's say some nice things that we can all feel like warm and cozy and comfy about.
Kumbaya.
What is something that each of you is looking forward to this season? Be it Texas specific or, and because understand, like, we, yeah, maybe they're here till 2023. You know, 2022 might be too quick to try and get them out and too expensive. Maybe it's 2023, maybe it's 2022. I am operating under this is the last hurrah, because if we don't, we might not get another chance. So, like, we did our Big 12 bucket list of the things that we would want to do because we may never get to do them again, right? So I'm curious from you three, like, what are the things you're most excited about for 2021? Whether it's because it's the last time you could do it or it's just something you're looking forward to this season.
I'm looking forward to, which is actually something we shouldn't be looking forward to, but full stadiums again. But this is like the worst time to have full stadiums again. So last year, you know, with you know, the minimal people, and it's not the same, right? That I guess I'm kind of like terrified that we're at full stadiums again, but getting back to having bands and cheerleaders, like the football environment that we missed last year, that I'm kind of excited but terrified about that part of it. But I'm as personally, like, for Texas, I'm ready to see an offense that's creative and not predictable, like actually the product on the field. I felt like there was times last year where I could have called the defense against Texas because it was so predictable. So I'm excited about an offense that's creative and gets a little bit sneaky. I'm excited about that. And the back to the college football game day atmosphere, even though I'm terrified because we're in stage 5 in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm really looking forward to, let me say this, looking forward to, and also, God, please don't let us go down this road again. We've got a new head coach. There's a lot of unknowns. We're all doing our best not to drink the Kool-Aid, but damn it, I've drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm excited. I'm ready to see Bijan just open it up. I think our defense is going to really wreck shop this year. I think I'm really excited to see, you know, the speed on Texas D, and really see from everything that we're hearing, they're flourishing under Coach K. And I think that's exciting. I'm also excited to see, kind of alluding to what Rocky was saying, is play calling that makes sense for the players that we have, not play calling that's just going to be shoving a scheme down your throat, no matter if it makes sense or not.
The
right?
Binder.
Yeah, I think we got a little tired of that with Herman. And I think from all that we've seen and all that we've heard, Sarkisian isn't going to be that way. And he is going to really utilize our big players, Bijan. I'm ready for the Bijan Dijon, man.
Bijan Dijon. You know, like echoing what the other two have said, there's so many unknowns. And I think it's kind of hard to answer like what I'm most excited about, because like it's remained to be seen, but like I'm excited about watching it all unfold to whatever that may look like. And I really don't know. I mean, I that sounds simple, but like, I don't know how else to say that other than that way, because again, I mean, golly, we've gotten so like bad. We've gotten so many bad hangovers from drinking too much Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I mean, I want boring games.
There's some hesitation, but like, I don't know. I don't know a Texas fan that pays close attention to the program and that knows the history that can't say to a degree that this feels different. Again, maybe I'm just drinking too much Kool-Aid, but I'm not. But I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see it like come to fruition, I guess, in a bit. And with especially what may turn out to be like our swan song in the Big 12. So it's this is weird. It's weird times. Like it's weird times indeed.
Okay, hold on. Bijan Dijon. So is that an official thing? So can we? I will now petition to use the phrase "bring the mustard" whenever he shows up with the ball.
Exactly, Bijan Dijon, baby. He'll
okay,
sprinkle it on a little bit.
No, dump it. Dump it all on my plate.
I love it.
But that's not effect every time.
We are sprinkling. No sprinkling.
I need lots and lots of Bijan.
Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, I was going to say, the thing I'm most looking forward to, basically looking around on Twitter and seeing all the tweets about how most of the teams in the Big 12 are 90% vaccinated or more, I am looking forward to not having to look at who's going to be out because of COVID every week. Like, there were so many Big 12 games last year where they were extremely uncompetitive or just absolutely ridiculous because half the team was out with COVID or, you know, some sort of contact tracing or something like that. We're probably still going to have that a little bit of that here and there, but I don't think I'm going to have to look and try to figure out who's out or look at inactive lists that are 30 people long every single week for each team. So I am really looking forward to that. I will say though, your comment about, you know, full stadiums, I didn't really notice a difference last year. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you're a Kansas fan, though.
That was the point. That was the point.
I love it, though. I'll tell you, I mean.
That's some gentle shade.
Delicate shade.
Self-shade, I mean, you know.
Delicate shade, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite experiences, I was up in Lawrence a few years back, and I have a couple Great Danes that I bring to all the games home and away, and have them dressed up as, you know, baby Bevos. And we were out there having a good time. The Jayhawk band came over, loved the dogs. I got some photos with the mascot and everything. But I did have one fan that came up to me and just, you know, I'm all in all my Texas gear. And he was, what are you doing here, Texas? What are you even doing here? I was like, man, it's football season. What are you even doing here? Like, why are your football fans here? Come on.
I would say, how long ago was that?
This was probably, it wasn't the painful year. And we're not going to bring that up, Andy, because we are keeping this a friendly podcast. thank you, sir. But
I don't know. It's a little late to bring that rule into play.
That's all right. That's all right. I bring it up every chance I get. So you don't have to be here for it.
You got to take that one win out of 90 losses.
You got to take it.
Yeah.
Nobody reminds us more of this. Like, not even Kansas fans remind us more of this. But Oklahoma fans,
yeah,
remind us the most.
They have some embarrassing losses. Yeah. Anyway,
it is one of the best or the longest lasting memes I think of all time related to college football. So
it'll never go away.
Exactly. Nor should it.
Yeah, there's no question.
But if Texas didn't matter, then no one would care if you beat them. See, that's the thing.
I'm not saying.
It's no, I'm just saying, like, people are like, oh, Texas doesn't matter, but beating them is the biggest thing to ever happen to our program ever. It's like they do that.
By the way, I will actually say, I am very happy to take credit for the fact that we pushed that meme so hard. Over at Rock Chalk Talk, we were the ones that for the first 3 weeks after that game happened, literally took every opportunity at least 3 times a day to react to some sort of news and say, don't let this make you forget about the fact that Kansas beat Texas in football. So we did that for 3 weeks straight, and finally we didn't have to do it anymore because everyone else was doing it for us.
It was a painful
but Texas doesn't matter.
Oh no, they absolutely do. Which is why it's so much fun.
So we'll take our 90 wins and you take your one loss, and then we'll take 90 more.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in the late, like maybe like 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, when Mangino was at Kansas, we had like a very uncomfortably close game.
The dollar signs game. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
There you go. So, I mean, it's not like it's unheard of. Like we ended up winning, as we all know, but it's not like Kansas has not been formidable in the last 20 years, you know.
Well, I mean, even just the last time we played, you know, down in Austin.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it was almost got another one, so.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, and look.
And I mean, after this season, you know, it'll only be a few days since Kansas beat Texas in football, so.
Well, you keep holding your breath for that one.
I've been beating that drum for the last 2 years. Philip gives me crap every time.
I love it. Yeah. Well, you know, and I know this is blasphemous to talk about this, you know, with football being so close, but I will say I am excited for the basketball season this year. Having Beard, going up against the likes of KU, even you guys are a little bit down right now, dealing with some of the fallout from the whole investigations and things like that. But I do think it's going to be. Do you think it's gonna be fun? Y'all always bring
I say
heat.
It's not affecting anything on the court. Like right now, I think Kansas is one of the top four or five teams in terms of national title favorites. So it's gonna be a hell of a year in basketball this year because
it is. I think the
Oh my gosh, we have a lot of loaded teams.
I think the Texas like swan song like the last year, whenever it may be, if it's this year or next year, I think it might be more fun in basketball because the Big 12 is more competitive in basketball for sure than football
overall.
And we know this, so I'm not saying that Big 10 basketball they're depends on who you talk to, but like
nationally they don't want to admit it, but the Big 12 is by far the best conference in basketball.
I tend to definitely agree, and I think we saw a lot of that in the tournament this last year.
The deep conference.
Yeah.
Finally, something we can all agree on.
Right? Basketball. Hoops. Yay.
We found common ground, y'all.
No, that's not true. That's not true. There's one other thing I think we can all agree on.
Okay.
That's home field apparel. The most comfortable vintage college sports apparel you will find anywhere, including some of the best vintage Texas t-shirts, sweaters, and hoodies you will find anywhere. I love the Bevo shirt, and I'm torn between buying it and not buying it because you guys are leaving, and like I don't know how to feel about it. Like I don't
just
know how
do
to
it.
Feel.
Just buy it,
man. It's nostalgia. Come on,
look, it is. Oh, it
Philip,
will be
Philip,
nostalgia.
If I buy and wear my marching Psy shirt all the time, look, I understand that there's some hard feelings, but don't take it out on home field.
I would never take anything out. I will never take anything out on home field ever. Homefield apparel, of course, has Texas, as well as Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech gear. And yes, there's one more Big 12 team coming. Yes, I know when it is and who it is. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to keep teasing that until it shows up. Okay, so if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. If it's your 100th time listening to the show, thank you. So do not forget, when you go to Homefield Apparel, you're going to use the promo code 1012, T-E-N-1-2, and get 20% off your first order. All orders of $70 or more get free shipping, and I promise no one goes to Homefield and buys one shirt. So those two promo codes, well, it's the promo code and the free shipping on 70 or more is going to be beneficial. No one gets, like, nobody goes to Homefield and is like, I'll take one. One Homefield, please. No, no, you get multiple Homefield from maybe one team or as many as possible. So homefieldapparel.com, promo code 1012, be rocking the most comfortable, and I cannot emphasize, underline, hyphenate, bold, comfortable enough vintage college sports apparel there is.
Yeah. One Homefield related thing here that I didn't realize I was going to throw out here, but my dog loves Homefield as well. Whenever I'm wearing one of my Homefield shirts, he jumps up on the couch and just like lays all over me because he loves the Homefield shirt. He actually has gotten to the point, he knows when I'm wearing a Homefield shirt. They are that good.
See, even dogs.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
That is the best endorsement ever, probably. I mean,
if the dog likes them, you all have to like them. Come on.
It's dog approved.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this this particular episode with some prop bets that I spent some time putting together. And I was going to have more, but I have two kids. And yes, I will use that excuse for whatever I want until they're 18 and out of the house. Okay, number one. Over under 250 carries for Bijan Robinson this season.
Over.
Under 250 is what, 20-ish a game?
Over.
I don't know. I'm hoping he stays healthy enough to get all those.
Don't you
but I would, us, Ricky if I Bobby. Had to say now, I'd say under until I see it on the field that we give a running back that much. I have to say under.
I was just say, I would hope that it would be under just because that means that enough other things are happening in the offense that he doesn't need to have that many opportunities, or he has so many big hits that he doesn't necessarily have to be running it 25 times a game.
Yeah, the average out, that'd be about 21 carries a game during the regular season to hit 250. Okay. Over under 1.5 Heisman finalists for the Big 12 this season.
1.5.
Under, like, you're talking about finalists.
Would he be like considered a half? Sorry. He's short. As finalists? I'm going to say under.
That was terrible.
Hannah, you didn't need to say it. I think we all knew what you were saying with it.
It was just the crickets thing. I was like, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If we're talking finalists, getting one out of the Big 12 would be somebody who just led, you know, like a Spencer Rattler or Case Thompson or somebody that just was above and beyond, or, you know, what's the running back from K-State, like, I forget his name, but something like that. Like, it would have to be one superstar that just shined and dominated the conference. So I would have to go under. I wouldn't see us getting two finalists.
You never know how many they're going to get. So it's always a question. Like, usually it's three. We've seen four. So never sure. Okay.
I think the most that they go to is five. So you would have to, you would have to have like absolutely super transcendent people. Like, you would have, like, Breece Hall would have to rush for like 3,000 yards, or Bijan would have to rush for like 3,000 yards, and Spencer Rattler would have to go absolutely insane. Like, I think it would require Rattler to be one of them, and then either Bijan or Breece Hall to go absolutely insane and be the other one and be the only running back that went absolutely insane all year long.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for remembering his name.
Okay. So we have what we call here on the show the tech bet, our good friend Daniel Alexander. When we did our win totals earlier in the year, put a sizable wager on Texas Tech not hitting the under. The under 4.5 wins for Texas Tech this season. It's been a really fun thing we're going to be doing all year long. But so I want to ask you three. The win total for Texas Tech is 4.5. Are you going over or under?
I'm gonna go over. I'll give Tech a little bit.
I'll go over.
I'll give them at least 5 wins.
I'll give them over. Yeah, Texas, you know what? Tech is they're like the annoying little brother. They just kind of make things happen sometimes, and you don't know why
exactly. They'll find a way.
I'll
to
change
win.
Mine, Philip, just so we're not all agreeing. F a Mountain Lubbock. Give me the under.
Well, look, I was going to say, honestly, the only way that they hit the over, I think, is if they surprise Texas in the Big 12 opener, because I think they're going to get 2 in the non-conference. I think Houston's going to beat them. I think that they're going to drop at least 1 or 2. I'm sorry. They might be able to get like two, I think, in the Big 12. I don't know that they can beat Baylor at Baylor, you know, beat Kansas State. You know, I mean, even going to Kansas, like that's one where Kansas could potentially jump up and get them. Like,
remember,
that's one
of the ones that Kansas could potentially win. They're playing Texas in Austin this year.
Yeah. They play Texas. Oh, right. I know that. But it's one of those things because it's so early in the Big 12 schedule.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to get to five wins, it's going to require them getting a big upset against a team that they probably have no business actually beating. And really early, either at Texas or at West Virginia is their best chance, I think, to do that. So I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going under as well.
All right.
Okay, over under 125 times this season that the announcers will bring up that OU and Texas are headed to the SEC. That includes in games that don't include Oklahoma and Texas.
I would say it'll be over 125 mentioned in the games that don't include Texas or OU. Take our games out of it, and I still think we're on the overs.
Yeah, and I would also be willing to add to this that at least 50 of these will come from Tim Brando himself. So
look, Philip, I would be tempted to take the over if you said 125,000 times. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, it's gonna get mentioned.
Can we set the over under a million? Yes.
All right, to follow that up, over under six games before we're all tired of hearing announcers talk about OU and Texas to the SEC in every single game.
Under.
That's like 5 minutes, Philip.
Way under.
I'm already tired of it.
Yeah. All right, last one. Over under 2.5 years before Texas fans are chanting SEC in non-conference games.
Ooh. Never. I'm going to go with a
never.
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 I will personally...
Other team.
Yeah.
Groupthink is a powerful thing.
I agree with you there. I gotta say, look, I love my team, and I can tell you without question, I will never be the person to chant that. But we've got a lot of idiot fans too, so I'm gonna say it's gonna happen. We're gonna hear it.
Games. I don't know if it'll catch on.
We'll hear it.
Philip, are we talking about two and a half? Are we talking about 2.5 years from right now, or two and a half years after they get to the SEC?
When they get to the SEC,
join.
Oh yeah. Gosh! I'd be tempted to take the under on half a year from when they start.
I'm gonna say not every Texas fan is gonna do it. I'm gonna say that.
Oh right.
Diehard will not do it, but I will say you're gonna hear enough people do it within 2.5 years of us joining, like during a bowl game or something, that it will be audible. So I'm gonna take the under on 2.5.
I can see it happening honestly, and I'm not trying to like throw shade or whatever, but like if there's a non-conference game or a bowl game versus maybe a Big 12 school.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not saying
no.
We did it against
Georgia. That's all right. It'll have to be paid.
We did it against Georgia to mock that they do it.
Exactly.
Right. I was going to say, if they do it against a Big 12 school in the non-conference, it'll be payback for the Big 12 schools this year sarcastically doing it if any of them beat Texas or Oklahoma.
Yes, 100%.
So.
100%. Maybe that's the other question. Do you hear SEC chants from
non-SEC schools
other than Texas?
Indeed,
if they beat OU or Texas, they will do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I will not because it's
and they
dumb.
Should.
No, it's dumb. No, look, again, college football fans, do whatever silly nonsense you want to do that's not violent, offensive, or gross. But if it's silly and what to do whatever you want, like have fun with it.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. Like SEC, and then when you're beating them to shout it back at them, like here's your SEC. But I also don't understand cheering for my conference over my own team. So we have Texas fight. You know, we have something to say when we're enjoying the product on the field, or the product on the field needs our help. We don't need to shout for other teams in our conference. I don't get it. I just don't think it's a Texas thing to do it. It's just like rushing the field if you win a big game. That's not a Texas thing. You're not ever going to do it. To me, those are kind of in the same family of it's just not a Texas thing to do. And I hope we never do it.
I mean, at least with rushing the field, you're celebrating something that your team did well.
Right.
If you're chanting SEC, you're celebrating the fact that people that you happen to have a conference affiliation with think that they're much better than everyone else. And that's really the only thing that you're celebrating at that point.
I heard this really awesome thing, like SEC stands for someone else's championship.
It just means more.
But I thought that was pretty dang good. Even now that we're joining, I still think that's really funny. Really funny. Like, so yeah.
All right. That feels like a
feels.
It feels like a good place to wrap on. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us. This has been a whole lot of fun. And again, welcome to the 1012 Network. We are thrilled to have you for as long as we have you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Do me a favor. Where can everybody check out the three of you individually as well as the podcast?
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter. I am Texas Fancy Boots.
I'm at Rocky Nose Best.
I am at Hafro09.
And then our group podcast is at Fire the Cannon One, the number one. So.
Because it's the best Fire the Cannon, right?
That's correct.
Exactly.
It is a great show. I am, again, thrilled to have you ladies on board. This is going to be a lot of fun this season. And I mean that. I am very excited about the insanity that is about to ensue, coupled with the fact that we are getting our first normal, semi-normal football season back. It's just... I don't think you could mix a better powder keg of just, oh insanity. It's going to be great.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you again. We will be back throughout this week with some more of our Sell Me On episodes, hitting on a few more of the Big 12 teams who are left over. So make sure that you rate and review the show, subscribe, follow us on Twitter at 1012 Network. It's not 1012 Podcast anymore. It's 1012 Network, T E N, the number 12, the word network. And we will talk to you guys again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.